Psalms 107, Psalms 107. So good to see you in the house, Lord. Good to have visitors with us. Thank you so much for being here and being part of the service today. Psalms 107. When we come to the book of Psalms, I don't know why, but the last couple of Sundays I've preached out of the book of Psalms. Now on Sunday nights we've been preaching out of the book of Ruth, and we planned that, but I haven't planned this other. But the Lord just kind of put us there in the book of Psalms for some reason. When you come to Psalms 107 to get a clear, really picture of it, we want to drop back to Psalms 105. These three Psalms go together. Psalms 105 teaches us that God brought them into the land and the blessings of God bringing them. I'm glad that God's a God that can do anything that he wants to do. Amen. But then we come to Psalms 106 and we see a real sadness in Psalms 106. Psalms 105 tells us how God treats Israel and his divine favor to them. But unfortunately, in Psalms 106, we see how Israel treats God. We see human failure. They turn away from God, and God disperses them from the land. God causes them to leave the land. They go into bondage. They go into captivity. But when we come to Psalms 107, guess what? They've come back home. Amen. Aren't you glad we got a God of second chances? Got a God that allow, even though we sin and go away from God. As you read the book of Judges, you'll see that, how God's people would, God would prosper them and God would bless them. You'll see this in your own life. You don't watch it. You get the blessings of God. And then sin will enter in. Then we'll get, self will enter in. And then they have to cry out for a Savior. And then God sends them a deliverer. But you need to watch that in your own personal walk with God. Prosperity and blessings. You know, the prosperity and blessings of America has turned a lot of people away from God. Instead of turning us to God. But when we come to Psalms 107, we see they're bringing them, the Jews, back. And look what it says, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good." The Lord's good? I'm telling you, he is. The Bible says, "For the Lord is good, for his mercy endureth forever." Then it says this, "Let the redeemed of the Lord say so." Amen. It don't say just think about it. It don't say even just to meditate on it, even that's a wonderful thing. But it ought to be expressed in our life and expressed through our life, but also should be expressed in our lips, thanksgiving to the Lord. Amen. And then we come to, he said, "Whom have redeemed from the hand of the enemy and gathered them out of the lands from the east and from the west and from the north and from the south." Now here, you're going to find he begins a process of, some people call it four standards in this psalm, stanzas in this psalm. But here he says this, "They wandered in the wilderness. In a solitary way, they found no city to dwell in." What he begins to do here is that he begins to say some things, how God is going to work in different people, in different situations, in different lives. And I believe if we look at these things this morning, we can see how God can work in our life. Amen. I'll turn the arrow on that. But how God can work in our lives. We see as he comes to Psalms 107 in verse number 4, he says they wandered. They was wandering in the wilderness, if you will. There was no home, no place for them. And yet, what it says in verse number 8, "Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness." What do you mean for his goodness? Well, there's a pattern that's going to take place. He's going to present a problem. Then he's going to present a prayer. Then he's going to present the provisions of God. And then there's the praise. And he's going to do this four times in your reading this morning. He'll do it four times. Now, I don't know how many of these I'll preach on. I just want to be led by the Lord by that. But I want to read them in your presence and just look at them. And we'll go back and visit the ones that the Lord has led us. "They wandered in the wilderness in a solitary way. They found no city to dwell in. Hunger and thirsty, their souls fainted in them. Then they cried." That was the problem. But then here comes the prayer. "Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distress." That's our God. Amen. That's what kind of God you and I serve. Amen. And the Bible says he delivered them. There we see the provisions of the Lord. He answers their prayer. And then look what then we see, verse number 7, "And he led them forth by the right way that they might go to a city of habitation." And then here's the praise. "Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness, for his wonderful works to the children of men, for he satisfies the longing soul and filleth the hungry soul with goodness." And all God's people said, amen. That's God. That's him. Verse number 10, "Such is set in darkness and in a shadow of death. being bound in affliction and iron. Here it is again now. The first one was those that was travelers. They was wanderers. They was in wanderers in the wilderness. They had no city, no home. But now here's one that's in prison. Here's one that's in bondage. It's in darkness and shadows of death, being bound in afflictions and iron. I mean, this suggests one, because they rebelled against the words of God, His contentment, the counsel of the Most High. Therefore, He brought down their heart with labor. They fell down and there was none to help. Here, these are in bondage. Now, the first one, they're wondering, and that this is just the circumstances they're in. But the second one, they're in this circumstances because they disobeyed God. They're in this condition because they sinned against God. And God's brought them down into bondage. Then, verse number 13. Here's the prayer. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble. He saved them out of their distress. He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death and break their bands in asunder. Oh, that men, here's the praise. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. For He had brought down the gates of brass and cut the bars of iron in sunder. Boy, isn't that wonderful to hear about our God again? Now, the one was just the circumstances of life. But the second one is because of their sin, of their failure. Yet God was still there. Oh, I'm glad God is there in the midst of our troubles, even when we bring the troubles on ourselves. Amen. Well, I'm glad our God's love for you and I and the Lord Jesus Christ's love for you and I is an unconditional love. Amen. Please get this. If you don't get this in your Christian walk, you'll be hindered. If you don't get this, you just remember this. You remember, young people, there's nothing you can ever do to make God love you anymore. And there's nothing you can do to make God love you any less. Now, that does not give us a license to sin or a license to do wrong. But you just realize God's love is unconditional for you. And when you've went to the, when you've strayed and went in the wrong direction in the wrong way, I'm still glad there's a God. That has compassion, remembers, the Bible says that we're but dust, and has mercy upon you and I, has grace upon you and I. He remembers that you and I are just as in this old flesh, and we'll fail Him. Well, I'm glad we got a God like that. Amen. We got a God like that. Well, we come now to the third time, and hear this again. It says, fools, because of their transgressions. Again, this is sin has caused this, because of their iniquities. Are afflicted. Now let me just put a real big old stop sign right here. Everybody's afflictions is not because of sin. Amen. Yeah. Amen. You remember in the Gospels, the disciples asked them about the blind man. Why was this man blind? Was it because of his mom or his father? No, he said, but for the glory of the Lord.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
So every affliction, every sickness is not, we don't bring them all on ourselves. But may I quickly tell you that our sins, we can sin and bring trouble our way.
Amen.
Amen. I've been this short time a pastor, and I've pastored for these 20-something years. I've walked into the hospital, and I'm telling you, Brother Stringer, I wasn't pulling for anything. Brother Hub, I wasn't trying to get anything out of anybody. Brother David, I went in there to visit one of our members, you know, just walked in there to visit. And I say, hey, sister, how you doing? Or hey, brother, how you doing? Things going on. And I know you're sick and in the hospital. I hate that you're in here. And we come by to pray for you. This ain't nothing. And that's just, I know why I'm in here. Amen. I know why I'm in here. God told me to do something. I wouldn't do it. Or, hey, God's getting my attention. And I had one lady, one time I visited over in Erlanger, and I was pastoring over in Tennessee, and I visited Erlanger, and I walked in. I mean, I didn't even get my, I didn't hardly get anything. She said, preacher, I know why I'm here. Now, I wasn't visiting her to try to tell her why she was in the hospital. I was visiting her to let her know we were concerned about it. Now, that's true. She hadn't been to the church in 2 months. Somebody say amen. But I wasn't coming. And she said, I know why I'm here. She said, I haven't been faithful to God. And God's put me on my back. He said, you're going to have to get faithful. You need to be faithful to me. I've been faithful to you. Amen. So that's one of, I want to mark it down real quick, that all sicknesses that come our way is not because we sin, but sometimes because we do wrong. And the Bible says here, fools, because of their transgression and because of their iniquities, are afflicted. Their soul abhorreth all manners of meat. They draw near unto the gates of death. Then they here, what it's saying is, these people right here, these sick folks here. Amen. I mean, he's dealt with those that are just wandering. He's dealt with those that was in bondage and prison. And now he's dealing with those that are sick. Amen. One man outlined it like this: God is good to people who are hopeless, those that are wondering. God is good to people who are trapped, those that are in bondage. But I'm glad God is good to those that are broken. And sometimes God has to break us. God has to get our attention. Amen. Sometimes God has to get right where we live. And may I say, God does know how to get your attention. God does know how to knock on your heart's door. I love this verse. Why? Because I claim it a lot. The goodness of God bringeth repentance. I want his goodness, not his consuming fire. I want his goodness to bring repentance. I want to realize the goodness of God and realize how great and wonderful and gracious and tenderhearted our God is. Matter of fact, when we get to the end of this, hopefully you'll see that's why this is all being expressed. And so anyway, he says here, verse number 19. Guess what they did in verse number 19? Okay, remember they have a problem. After the problem, what happens? They pray. Y'all not listening. They have a problem, then they pray. Here's the prayer. Look at verse 19. Then they cried unto the Lord. You know what he said? I'm sick of these people. No. Then they cried unto the Lord. Now, if it was us, that's what we'd say. Amen. But I'm glad our God's not like us. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses. He sent his word. He sent his word. And healed them.
Yeah.
Amen. If I get back to preaching these, I'm just giving you this as an introduction. If I can get back to preach some of these, we'll have some fun. Amen. But anyway, verse number 20. Boy, I tell you what the Word of God can do for you. Boy, that's why you ought to be in the house of God. Now, we have a lot of things around here. We love doing a lot of things. There's nothing wrong with doing a lot of things. I mean, we may do different things, do this and do that. But you know what? What's going to happen on a Sunday morning, a Sunday night, Wednesday night, most of the time, without God just shows up in a really mighty way, what usually happens around here on Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night? Preaching. Amen. Why? Because God uses his word. I'm afraid we've got too many saints of God, too many Christians today that are trying to grow by the things that they do for God. And you can grow by experience, I understand that. But you know how you're going to grow? You're going to grow. You know how you're going to be healed? You know how you're going to be, God's going to work in your life? It's going to be through this word. This is what's going to, it's food for us. This is what's going to keep us healthy, is the word of God. So many churches have so many activities, and they're trying to get God in the picture like that. I tell you, when God shows up, it'll be through this word. Amen. I love God showing up in the singing. I love shouting as much as anybody else. But hey, the preaching should do something for us. Amen. If preaching don't stir you, something's wrong.
Yeah,
amen. Well, let's move on. Verse number 21. Here it goes again. Oh, that men would pray. What happened now? There's a problem. Then there's prayer. And then God's provisions comes. And then what happens? We praise him. We praise him. Verse number 20, oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. And God's people said,
amen.
And let them sacrifice the sacrifice of thanksgiving and declare his works with rejoicing. Verse 23, here we go again. They that go down to the sea. Now he's talking about those that are sailors, those that are ship, that works on the ship. He goes down to the sea in the ships that do business in great waters. These see the works of the Lord and his wonders in the deep. For he commandeth and raises the stormy winds and lifted them up, the waves thereof. They mount up into heaven. They go again to the depths of the soul. It melts because of the trouble. They rear to and fro and stagger like a drunken man and are at their wits' end. Now, you know why I'm preaching this message? It's what I want to preach on. I'm at my wits' ends. I'm giving up on y'all. No, I'm just joking. I'm joking. But this is the verse that triggered my thought to get to this passage. Hey, have you ever been at your wit's end?
Yeah.
Amen. Now, what is this talking about? He's talking about storms. He's talking about storms of life. He's talking about storms on the sea that were likened to the storms that you and I have in our lives. And I don't know about you, but I know a lot of people, it seems like they're at their wit's end. Yeah. They seem like this went as far as they can go. Amen. I mean, they seem like they've battled and they've fought and they've moved forward, but they just came at their wit's end. And guess what? I just want to remind you that are at your wit's end, there's still a God.
Amen.
There's still a God. Hey, here's the problem. The storms have came. The storms of life has came, and they're at their wit's end. Then, what did they do? Pray. Y'all are not getting this, are you? Okay, we have to go through this good class. Well, I need cards or something, amen. Okay. First there's a problem. It all starts with P's, okay? First there's a problem. What happens after the problem?
Pray.
Okay. If we don't learn nothing else, we're gonna get this little outline down right here. Problem and then prayer. Because you know what? Problems are gonna come in your life. And you need to know what to do when problems come.
Yeah.
When problems come, you don't run to Aunt Susie and Uncle Johnny. You don't run to Mom and Dad. When problems come, you run to the Almighty God.
Amen.
You go in prayer and talk to Him. Hey, this is what we should do in our life. And they pray. Now look what happens now. So they pray. Here we go. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble. And finally, He failed and did not deliver them.
No.
That's one of them funny Bibles. That ain't the King James Bible. And He bringeth them out of their distresses. He maketh the storm calm, so the waves are of a still. Then they are glad because they be quiet. So He bringeth them unto their desired haven. Well, I'm glad I got a God like that. I'm glad this God is my God. Amen. I mean, I'm glad this God can work in my life. This is a God that works in my life. Oh, verse number, and then, okay, there's a what? A problem. I'm helping you out. Secondly, there's what?
Pray.
Thirdly, there's what?
Pray.
No, provisions. Woo, we don't want to forget the provisions of God. Y'all are not doing good in class today. Provisions of God. And then lastly, what are they?
Praise.
Now, if we don't watch it, we'll be like those leopards. Those 10 leopards that God healed, and only one came back to thank God.
Yeah.
In the last days, perilous times come. Men to be lovers of self, covetous, boasters, proud, bastards, disobedient, unthankful, and unholy.
Yeah. Amen.
Unthankful. Now, I know people says that we raised up a generation that's unthankful, and maybe we are. But if there's anybody that should not be unthankful, it's the children of God.
Amen.
And if there's anybody that shouldn't be unthankful, it's Philadelphia Baptist Church this morning.
Yeah.
And what God has done in the midst of this church for its 40, over 40-something years of being here,
right,
and the blessings that God has bestowed upon us, and God has allowed us to be here this morning. God has allowed us to be able to hear the Word of God. God has allowed us to hold a Bible in our hands. God has allowed you and I the privilege to be able to come and hear singing and worship Him in spirit and truth. We wasn't hindered in any way from military or from anyone. We have the privilege to come and worship God.
Amen.
If anybody ought to be thankful, it ought to be us.
Amen.
There's some that would love to be here this morning, but they're in the hospital.
Yeah.
There's some that have desire to be here, but there were the broken hearts at funeral homes. There's some that, because of their choices and decisions they made, they can't come to the house of God because they're in jail.
Yeah.
But in those solitary moment of being in bondage, and when their eyes are finally opened and they like the prodigal son, when they finally came to themselves, they realized they'd rather be in the house of the Lord.
Amen.
Some could be here like we've already preached in Psalms. Some could be here and, I mean, you're almost ready to slip. You're almost about ready to fall because you've looked out there and seen the prosperity of the wicked. I said, preacher, what are you preaching for? I've got a text, and that's about it this morning. Amen. I'm sorry. My text is pretty good, oh, amen. But I'm trying to tell you this morning, God's wanting to speak to our heart that when problems come, we pray, the provisions of God come, and then we praise Him. Okay. Verse 1. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. Let them exalt Him also in the congregation of the people and praise Him in the assembly of the elders. I wonder, where's our testimony? Where's our outward praise? Now, our church isn't just built up on praising God. We understand that. But I'm telling you what, some people would walk into church and walk into churches, and the church don't have to shout to be holy. I don't understand that. And they don't have to shout to be healthy. But some churches you would go to, and sometimes I visit them every once in a while, and you wonder, is God alive or is God dead? Are they talking about a God that's still living now? Are they talking about a God that they used to know?
Yeah.
Amen. You know, to look at it sometimes, and to follow a Christian sometimes, we get so down in the dumps, people that are not Christians say, man, I don't need that. I don't want that. I already have that. Help us to be an example. Notice what he said. He keeps saying it. Oh, look, oh, that men would praise. Oh, that men would praise. So there must be something to this thing of praising God that helps us.
Amen.
It must be something to praising God that not only helps us, but helps others. Because so then we praise God for, hey, He helps the hopeless. Amen. Amen. And He saves those that are lost in the desert.
Amen.
He saves those that are in need. They had no road, no company, no compass, no supplies, nothing. Matter of fact, if I wanted to, this morning I could liken this to a lost person wandering in the world. That's what you and I was. We was just lost and we was without God and without hope.
Yeah. Amen.
Helpless. Couldn't do anything for God. Couldn't do anything to merit God's favor. Born sinners. Amen. Born with this deprived nature. But guess what happened? The Lord came by.
Amen. Yeah.
It says, and we heard the good, good news that Jesus saves. We heard, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. We heard about a Savior. We heard about one that had provisions. And guess what? We cried out to the Lord. And guess what He did? He saved us. It's just it was wonderful to hear Brother Randy pray this morning for his granddaughter. She got saved during VBS.
Yeah.
And Sister Trish, I'll probably use this illustration the rest of my life. Sister Trish, little Brooklyn come up, and yeah. I asked her I said, "What you come to pray about?" We don't never ask them if they come to get saved because that put it in their mind. So we want them to tell us they come to get saved. So what you come to pray for? And she said, "I come to pray about sin." And so I've got Sister Trish comes. Sister Trish asks the same thing. She said, "This is what she said." She said, "I realize I've got a sin problem. We got to fix this." Amen. Anyway, we got a sin problem. We got to fix this. Hey, man.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. God say He can fix it.
Yeah.
And you cried out, amen. That's right, Sister Barbara. He can fix it. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. She ought to be praising the Lord. Got Willard sitting there beside her side over 40 years. Amen.
Yeah.
This church has been praying for him. He just got saved a few months ago. Amen. Been baptized. What a blessing. Hey, we got something to praise.
Yeah.
Oh, that men would praise the Lord.
Yeah.
Oh, that men would praise the Lord. Hey, it's not trying to work something up. It's not trying to get people to shout. I'm not trying to do that this morning. What I'm trying to say is God's been good to us.
Yeah.
That's what it's talking about, the goodness of God. Did you read the goodness of God? Look at the first verse. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. That's what it's trying to get us to see. The goodness of our great God. The goodness of the God that loves us and makes provision for us and prepares us and empowers us and leads us and provisions for us. All that he does for you and I, his grace, his mercy, his tender loving, all that he does. Hey, he wants us to recognize him. Amen. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good.
Amen. Thank
the Lord. Time out. One sign I know. Isn't it good to see these people here? Good to have all the visitors with it. But we don't watch it. It's because of life. And pause, we come to that state that we mentioned a minute ago, our wits end. As we walk this Christian walk and we live like... We do like Peter did. We get our eyes on the circumstances around us and we begin to go down in the waters. We forget the goodness of God.
Yeah.
Instead of coming in church this morning, somebody could have came in. Oh, I just don't know how I'm going to make it. I just don't know. My spirit is beaten down. I feel like nobody loves me. I feel like nobody cares for me. But sir, ma'am, God loves you.
Yeah.
Even though Philadelphia Baptist Church may have failed you. Even though Pastor McCully may have failed you. Even though your loved ones may have failed you. Guess what? There's one that loves you.
Yeah.
You just need to remember the goodness of God. Just remember that you've been saved by the marvelous grace of God, that you are a child of the King, that your name is written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. Your sins have been washed in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. You're not condemned anymore. You're one day going to be seated in heavenly places. You're already sitting there, but one day you're going to be there, and we're going to have a glorified body. We're going to be in heaven the rest of our life. We got all eternity to overcome what we got right now. The best is yet to come. And even though if you don't watch it, you'll be down in your circumstance. I'm telling you, physically, when we become physically sick, it gets us down. That's true. It gets us down. It's a natural thing. And we have to be spiritual enough to look past the circumstances that were. Hey, he came to them that were sick, you remember? He came to those that was in bondage. He came to those that was wandering. And he delivered. Whatever sickness you may have, a disease for this world only. If we could really see time, and I can't, I'm faith. I have less faith here than I need to have more faith here. But Brother Ray, if I could really weigh out what this life is compared to eternity, it's just a moment. Ecclesiastes said there's a time to be born and the time to die. One commentary said the time in between was so short, God didn't even mention it. There's a time, there's a birthday on that tombstone, and then there's a day of the death. And right between is a little dash. And one man said, that's just like your life. It's just a little dash. What is your life? It's like a vapor appear for a little time and then vanishes away. Don't let the circumstances and the frailty of this life rob you from the rewards of the other life.
Amen.
You said, well, preacher, things in my family didn't work out like I thought it would work out. I know. And I don't understand that. And sin affects more than just the person. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
But can I tell you, there's a God in heaven that was so concerned about the little widow lady. It was fixing to go out. She had two sticks. It was fixing to go out and cook her little last little piece of bread, and her boy was going to die. They sent a prophet by her way. Amen. And she believed God. She believed the word of God. And he said, hey, God told me to tell you, you go fix me a cake. And he said, if you'll do what God said, you know what happened? That curse of oil will never run out. And that barrel will never go dry. Now, I just believe, Brother Charles, I just believe this personally. I don't believe she went in there the next morning and it was full. I believe she went in there and looked in there. Same situation was last night. But she took that cup to go down in that barrel and came back out with some more meal.
Yeah. Yeah. Amen.
Went over after that curse still just a little bit, and she poured it out, and it's still there. Can I tell you, that's our God. That's our God. He's still going to be there. He's still going to make provisions for you. I don't know what you're going through this morning. My heart don't know what you're going through, but I know this. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness. Because in the midst of all our bad, in the midst of all our stress, in the midst of all our tears and all our tragedies and all our trials, there is a God that's walking right with us. Amen. There is a God that will sustain us. There's a God, brother. His everlasting mercy for arms are up under us. And when we cannot walk ourselves, He can carry us.
Amen.
Go to the last verse in the text. Verse number 43. Whosoever is wise will observe these things. Even they shall understand the loving kindness of the Lord.
Amen.
So if we're wise this morning, if we're wise today, we'll understand sometimes in life it's like we're wandering. Sometimes in life it's like we're in bondage. Sometimes in life we're down and we're broken. Sometimes in life we have storms and tragedies. But these things comes our way that we might see the goodness of God. If I could say it like this, Brother Shane, if it wasn't for the burdens that brings me down, I wouldn't feel the need to pray. If it wasn't for the sadness that causes tears to come to my eyes, then I really wouldn't have a reason to shout. Says in the midst of His breaking us that He's making us. It's in the midst of life, as we live life, that our faith is growing. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. And Job said, when He's tried me, I shall come forth as gold.
Yeah.
You know what God's doing this morning? God's just searching for gold in you. God's just searching for some gold. He's wondering if you'll go past your wit's end. Because see, when you get to your wit's end, that's when God kicks in. When you go as far as you can go, that's when God can take over. Because see, if you could handle it in your own power, you wouldn't need God anyway. And sometimes God just needs to make us dependable on Him. He just needs to make us see that, hey, we need to depend upon Him. This morning, have we become too undependable? Have we become too independent? Have we become faithless and not faithful? Have we become fearful and not focused on being faithful? This morning, oh, that men would praise the Lord. Look what it says now. Let's read it again. I believe it's verse number 8, the first time it says it. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness. Let's praise Him for His goodness.
Amen.
Then let's praise Him for His wonderful works. He saved us.
Amen.
Made us a child of the King.
Amen.
The many received Him, give Him power to become the sons of God. Many believe on His name. We become sons. We become part. We're joint heirs for the Lord Jesus Christ. The works to the children of men. Well, thank God for His wonderful works to the children of men. Thank God for His satisfying us. That longing soul. Seth, God just put something down in man. And man can't be satisfied without it. There's like a vacuum there that only God can fill. Ecclesiastes said it something like this. He hath made everything beautiful in His time. Also, he has set the world in their heart so that no man can find out the work of God. Make it from the beginning to the end. What God's saying, God's put a desire in our hearts that cannot fulfill without God. God's put something in our heart that it cannot be fulfilled without him being there. This morning, are you sick of your sin? Are you sick of being lonely? Are you sick of not having that guilt over your head? Are you sick of not knowing where you're going to spend eternity? Well, there's one called Jesus that can help you this morning. He can give you peace that passes all understanding. He can be that companion. Amen. Hey, that thief on the cross, when Jesus said today, instantaneous salvation, you should be with me. Today you shall be with me. Instantaneous companionship.
Yeah.
Instantaneous companionship. I mean, right there, he got a companion right there. Today you shall be with me in paradise. I tell you, when you get saved, you have a companion, a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. How is it? How is it you're alive? Do you know Jesus this morning as your Savior? If you do know him as your Savior, have you came to your wits' end? When you come to your wits' end, just trust him. Trust the Lord with all thy heart. Lean not to thy own understanding. All thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. We're standing our heads about.
Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your provision, your protection of us. Lord, as the psalmist, the songwriter said, so prone to wander, Lord, we feel it. Prone to leave the God we love. God, I pray you'd help us to stay right where you'd have us to be. Right next to you, right close to you, in your word, where you can speak to us. Lord, I pray you'd help us to be faithful to your house this evening. Faithful to your will for us each day of this week. In Jesus' name, amen.